Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Hey there, it's Michelle Norris. I'm host of a podcast called Your Mama's Kitchen. When I travel, I'm usually looking for a way to find a taste of home when I'm not at home. And one of the things I love to do when I am at home is entertain. And Airbnb allows me to do that. When I was in California recently, I rented a house that had a great kitchen. And when we were sitting around the table, we're all thinking, we're in someone else's house. Someone could be in all of our homes as well. If you have a home, but you're not always at home, you have an Airbnb. Your home might be worth more than you think. Find out how much at airbnb.com/host.
Hi, Chris. How are you?
Gravy, Paul.
Gravy, baby. Looking good. I've just basically breathed in a noxious gas of, what did you have for lunch?
Ham and coleslaw.
Ham and coleslaw, just ham and coleslaw.
I've eaten a lot of spicy food this weekend though, so you're probably getting a little bit of that.
Yeah, I did because I've had a curry, but it did feel like it was coming from the curry
yeah.
family.
Yeah, that's about right.
Yeah, what did you have for the weekend?
Friday, I had two curries.
Two curry Friday.
Yeah, well,
I did, for lunch or for tea.
No, I did the big shop.
Thanks, sir.
I did the big shop. And then I was like, this is what I always do when I go shopping. I go, I buy a week's worth of food and I'm too lazy to cook any of it after I've done an hour.
Yeah.
So then I go to the curry house on the way home and I place my order. And don't tell Kat this, I place my order when I get there because I know I've got time for a pint before my food's ready.
So there is definitely a category of man. I've noticed this man, and you are within this category of man, who whenever you go to pick a curry up from a curry house, there's a fella there at the bar bit. Yeah. With a pint in his hand.
And he knows my name, he knows who my family are, and he knows what I drink.
Yeah.
It's perfect. I mean, I eat that a lot.
Yeah, it must happen the length and breadth of the country, because I was in, like, York, and you told me you do this, and I went out to pick a curry up on time, and there was a fella there who obviously decided to sneak two pints in before he went over
to do it.
Yeah.
The way to do it. So I had curry Friday, yeah. Saturday, we had cleft tikka. It's not spicy.
Cleft tikka, that sounds like Greek. Brazilian facial disorder.
I'm not au fait on Portuguese, so I couldn't tell you one way or another.
Anyway, apparently 2017 is the year of the podcast. So we kind of thought it made sense that we have one. So let's
start now because Liverpool have just started.
Well, exactly. Yeah, exactly. So let's just do it. The season's begun.
Paul, I'm fed up of people saying Lincoln have had as many wins over Premier League side as Liverpool, and it's not another week until we can change that.
Yeah. So we'll discuss that. We'll discuss the Liverpool break and the La Manga thing in a minute. But we've got a question to kick us off. Comes from Graham Murphy on Facebook. It's a question for each. If you were in the Liverpool squad and Klopp was about to pull a name out of a hat of who is to room with you in La Manga, who would you be hoping for and why?
Oh, that's a tough question.
You know?
I've not seen any of these questions before, so this is straight off the bat.
You perform best in these kind of situations.
I'm thinking, and regular viewers will know, it's going to be Phil Coutinho.
You think?
I think so, yeah.
Why are you looking for something to happen?
Yeah,
so you're hoping something's going to happen?
Oh, maybe. Even if it's just a little bit of a skill rubs off.
Is this kind of like when your parents say, you know, your girlfriend's not allowed to stay in your bedroom?
Yeah, exactly. So, I mean, and look, I want to touch his hair. I mean, that's a given. I need to know what that feels like before I die. So I've not done that, and I'll be able to cross that off the list.
You had an opportunity.
I was a little bit timid. It was a couple of years ago now, Paul.
I was a little bit timid.
You just don't meet someone in that type of a situation and go, can I rub your hair? Whereas it's totally acceptable when he's asleep.
What he doesn't know, what Phil Coutinho doesn't know, can't possibly hurt him. I just like the idea of him. I've got this idea of a shot in my head where Phil Coutinho's lying down and he's looking towards camera and you're behind just twiddling his hair but he's wide awake and you think he's asleep and he's like,
yeah. And I'm like, it's just another spider, Phil.
And he's just whispering in his ear, going, stay asleep, Phil.
Go just to a spider.
Sleep, go to sleep.
Brahms will buy it with Bieber, by the way.
So mine, because I've come to realise this, there's probably an exciting answer to this, and like me from well, when was the last exciting? About 15 years ago, would have had something, you know, like, oh God, who'd you have a laugh with? Who'd be up for staying up and having a laugh? No, I go for quite the opposite these days. This is why you and I don't room very well together, because we have different...
I was going to get pissed.
Chris wants to go out and get pissed, and I want to be tucked up safe in bed. I'm a man who needs to sleep. So I want someone... I'm Mignolet all day, me. You know why? Because he's clearly so
just
dull. Yeah, like, and I could use that if he's boring, if he talks to me about something boring, send me to sleep. Just, you know, talk me to sleep. I don't need to have a podcast on to try and get myself to nod off. I don't need to read. I could just listen to him talk me through his process, his weekly process for preparation. Listen, this is the point. If I want to be in bed at 9:30 at night, Mignolet is not going to be the guy. He's not going to be the guy waking me up. He's not going to be the guy coming in. He's not going to be the guy who does pranks or sticks. I'm waking up with both my eyebrows, which is an important thing.
He doesn't like kids, and you stink of them.
That's weird. That's really weird. My own kids, by the way. Yeah, it's...
That's my thing.
Smells like shit. smells like shit and baby wipes.
Standard.
Owed a paycheck.
Owed a paycheck, yeah. You'll pay a lot of money for that.
Yeah, so anyway, yeah.
Not many of them.
I'd be interested, obviously, of course, as ever, people listening. And people watching, because this is a video, this is going to be out on the redmentv.com for subscribers only.
That's why the camera's there. Okay, now I know why you're looking at it.
You got to look at our engage. Apologies to people just listening to this, because fuck you. It might be the year of the podcast, but it's still called Red Men TV. So, Chris, obviously, let's get into some Liverpool stuff. First off, we had a weekend off this weekend, FA Cup, whatever round, who gives a shit, of the rounds of the FA Cup.
It was in my diary, I didn't fill anything.
It was, I had to put that in there, because like, this will be happening at some point. I remember having it, we're looking ahead, we planned the weeks ahead, don't we, and we looked at that and we're like, and then it filled in red, oh, there's a Liverpool game that weekend, oh, there's not, wipe it out, weekend off. Is that selfish of us?
No. I think anybody who's got a job kind of understands that, like, it's nice to have a weekend off, especially if you're working in, like, catering, you don't get weekends off. It is just a little bit different for us. Like, don't get me wrong, I still miss the footy. I watched the European football show for the first time in months.
Really?
Because I didn't have any football in my life. And I still enjoy watching football. That's what it's all about. And it was a little bit gutting. We had family up for the weekend and stuff, and one of them... He's a Chelsea fan. He's young, he may come out of it, I don't think he will. But, so we had the Chelsea game on and stuff, and that just kind of pissed me off as well. Like, it's just so easy.
Because I'm 100% bought into this notion of rest, relaxation, recuperation, training, and reinvigorate for the run at the end of the season. I'm all in on that, because I see no sense in not being. But I also... we were chatting about this before, it exists in hypothetics, doesn't it? We won't know until Leicester and the game after that and the game after that. And game, you know, we won't know until we are able to look back at this run. If we lose the next two games or we're not great and we don't get wins or whatever, then we will look back at this weekend and next weekend and think, oh, you know, there could have been something more interesting there, because ultimately what it boils down to is the FA Cup. I've gone off the FA Cup because we were terrible in the FA Cup this season. So the idea of having another game where we play a weakened team and it's a struggle to get through it. Ugh, God, you know.
The thing is, though, it looks like it's going to be a good competition this year, because a lot of the big teams are making it to the semi-finals, or have got at least a clear route through to the semi-finals, doesn't it? So it is a competition where if you get into the semis and you get a big tie, you think, I'd rather have that than Aston Villa.
Yeah, no, completely agree with that. It's mad how the FA Cup goes like that sometimes, isn't it? But the League Cup does as well. You have those spells where I guess it depends on how many teams are competitive at the top end of the league, and that's when you decide whether to make a go at the domestic ones. Because for every the FA Cup it's always won by and large. I'm saying always. It's by and large won by a really good team. But you do have those seasons where Millwall get to the finals, and you have, you know, your Cardiff and you get to League Cup finals, etc., etc., etc. My thing of it is, what it boils down to is, I enjoyed having a weekend off, and I'll be perfectly honest, I'm fucking like a pig in shit that I've got two weekends off back to back. But I would love to have spent that time watching Liverpool do what Spurs just did, or what Man United.
But we never make it that easy, though, do we? So you can know that we wouldn't have.
Exactly. But what I did do, and I put a tweet out at the time, was that what I enjoyed, because I'm bought in, totally bought in, is I love watching, I love Man United having to bring on Zlatan and Pogba. Like, they've not played a minute in the FA Cup prior to that game. They had to bring him on in the second half against Blackburn to get the job done. And every time they did a sprint or stretched for a football or kicked the football or took a breath, you're like, you're about to show me.
Making sure don't hit me, Mike.
Do you do that? You remember the beer mitt episodes of Men Behaving Badly? You get a beer mitt to fit a can of lager in, but it doesn't go up like that because it spills, so they have to drink
this. Yeah,
that totally. Kind of looking good. But yeah, the fact that they had to, these teams, like Spurs, had to go strong. Man United ended up having to go strong. That, I love it. I'm looking at them thinking, like, ooh, how many eggs of energy are these guys putting out when our guys are?
Well, how many sprinters Zlatan got left in him? You know, that's it. It's like coupling, if you've ever seen it. And I can't remember her name. It's not Jane. It's the ginger hair girl in coupling. And she only smiles to single men because she knows that every time she smiles, she's going to get a wrinkle or something like that. And so she saves her smiles up. And as soon as she finds out someone's single, she'll give them a little bit of a smile. So Zlatan having to sprint in the FA Cup against Blackburn, brilliant. It's just one more mile off the legs.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah, I completely agree with that.
Exactly like that, Paul.
It's exactly. Perfect analogy. No, it's true though. You know, it's actually Phoenix Knight, and he says, you're all balls, you or something like that. Like, you know, you only get a bucket and a half. Trust me, I know. And, you know, apparently you only get so many jizzes in a lifetime. And sure. But to be fair.
What? Yeah. How many?
A bucket and a half. It's true.
I'm close to the edge.
I'm nearly done. There was a famous story. I say famous. It's not famous. If you read it, you might remember it. Or maybe you didn't. It was in FHM years ago. You know, when you're 15, you used to buy FHM because you kind of like...
I was 15, Paul,
it's a bit saucy, or whatever it has. You buy Loaded as well because of tits.
Yeah, bought that when I was 15, still do. Go on.
Sky magazine, because Louise Redknapp was on the cover.
Was she a nerding then, or was she Redknapp?
She will have been a nerding at the time.
Yeah, I don't know. I've
nerded her everywhere. Anyway, there was a story about a guy...
She's well, actually, as well.
The Redknapps in general are a very, very attractive people, aren't they?
Lucy, hang on, talk.
That's not true, because Harry Redknapp. But anyway,
one day I live in the hope that Jamie will look like Harry.
That's never gonna happen. That time's passed. If he was gonna look like Harry,
I think his face is gonna sag like one of the pilots in Star Wars. You know where you get the wrinkles coming down the cheeks.
Is a pilot, like, is that a species?
Pilot? No. He was a pilot.
Oh, he was a pilot. Right, sad. I was like, I don't remember the pilot, but I'm not saying it's not a thing. I've been reading the Star Wars book lately, and they describe races, and I'm going, I've got no idea what that planet people look like. You know, yeah, definitely. Anyway,
you need to check out Wikipedia.
You know, you need to check out, actually, it was just reminded, in terms of people going to look like their dads, have you seen what Bam Margera looks like these days?
No.
So he looks exactly like his dad. So he's gone from being, you remember Bam from Jackass?
Oh, yes.
So, yeah, Bam, he went on and did all his own series and all that kind of stuff. Like, and he was the one who used to batter his dad and harass his mum. He got dead fat and just looks exactly like it. It's hilarious. It's hilarious. I mean, it's not...
Is this why you shaved? You didn't want to go for a moustache?
I do every now and again. Whenever I shave, right, I don't do it every time, but periodically I do that big shave. And I go for the tash just to see how much I look like my dad. And every now and again, I text him a picture of it going like,
have you got one?
Can you imagine? No, it's been a while. I didn't do it this time round. I had other things to do, like put a collage together to put on Facebook.
Did that go on Instagram as well?
Don't have a personal Instagram.
All right. So what do? Do you use the Instagram layout app to just make a photo for Facebook?
Correct.
Wow.
Yeah, but birthdays, Valentine's, anytime you go do a romantic collage for the missus, I could probably find an app that does it. But I've got an app that does it.
Yeah,
it's called Instagram. But yeah, the Harry Redknapp and Jamie Redknapp thing. Maybe, I mean, I don't know. Look, his mum's obviously, you know, I don't think his mum's still around. Is he? Maybe. His mum's a stunner, and maybe that's just what has overridden it. And good on Jamie, lucky lad, is all I'm saying. Because Harry Redknapp, Chris, don't forget, was a heartthrob in the 70s.
Yeah, I know. This is what makes me think that Jamie might go that way.
He might, like I say. But I think he's like probably well in his 40s.
This is just completely off topic, but fuck it, why not? I saw a thing on Facebook this week that is advertising, do you know the Han Solo and Carbonite?
Mm-hmm.
Ice block makers.
Well.
Yeah, how much do I want one of them?
Yeah.
More I thought it was the next say, birthday present.
I thought
please.
You were going to say there's a company offering to freeze you in carbonite as a service.
I don't know, but that's how I got onto that because I was thinking, sad. You know, you would freeze Jamie, wouldn't
I
you?
I would. I would. There's certain things I would with Jamie Redknapp. I wouldn't freeze him in carbonite. I would touch his hair while he slept. but no, I reckon that would be. You'll know when I've personally jumped the shark and my level of hubris has increased beyond all recognition when I'm mega rich and you'll notice on my office wall is I have myself carbonated and just as a decoration. I wouldn't be inside it. I'd have it cast.
You know what I think you'd enjoy most about that? Your hair wouldn't need touching up. I think you'd enjoy
forever
that.
Forever perfect, Chris.
Yeah, amazing. Just it's the dream, isn't
it?
It's
just the dream. It's genuinely the dream. Getting back to Liverpool, obviously, as we say, as a percentage, how bought into you are, how bought into the whole rest thing are you?
Oh, 100%, because, look, you always try and find ways to make yourself feel better about your football club because you've got to sometimes because you go through Januaries like we've just gone through and I need to hang my hat on something. And right now, I can't give you an answer whether this is going to work until a few games time, which is fine because that's not discounting that it hasn't worked right now. And that gets me through till the next stage. And I'll reevaluate then and I'll come up with something else, another excuse for why I think Liverpool have failed in this last thing. But no, look, that is the way that I think about football and it is the way that it gets me through. And the fact that Klopp's talking in his press conference last week to James Pearce in the Echo and stuff about how, you know, you take them for a 10-day intensive pre-season training to prepare themselves for a 38-game season. He's now got a 5-day period to prepare them for 13 games. And the way that he's thinking about it, like this has just snuck up on us. As soon as we were knocked out of the cups, they started planning this. Don't let anyone tell you otherwise. Yeah. And so they've been thinking about it for longer than we've been thinking about it. And if they think that's the right idea and that's the way to do it, then I'm all in on that because I trust in them.
No, absolutely. As with anything, we have a constant battle with this, don't we, with the channel. I think there's just people who are naturally more inclined to think a certain way than others, and we call it confirmation bias, don't we? When you hear a piece of information come out, and you can use it as a stick to beat, or you can use it as a comforter for what it's meant to be used. And if you're bought into this Liverpool as a failed football club and the ownership are all tits up and blah 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 blah, you'll just be looking at this as just excuses. Whereas I'm kind of laissez faire. I take a shrug. I exactly what you're saying. If it works, boss, great. We're never if we go on to be a really good team, we're never gonna have this opportunity again. And most good teams don't get these kind of opportunities because ultimately you want to be more successful in your game by game, don't you? But given that it's not gone exactly how we would have planned it, it makes me wonder a little bit. And this is conspiracy theorising to some extent. Why we didn't take the FA Cup slightly more seriously, and I do wonder whether they've thought, and look, we say this all the time, oh, has he deliberately gone out of the cup? I don't think we deliberately went out of the cups, but I do wonder whether maybe there's a little mentality at Millwall thought, right, we could use this time, and I don't know whether they'd be happier. Not happy, no one's dancing a jig that you've lost your chance of silverware, but whether once it was done, they did think, we could use, you know,
we can take advantage of this. I think, look, you know, it's easy to forget sometimes the roads that you take to get yourself somewhere. And don't forget, when these FA Cup fixtures were going on, we were in really bad form and we were in a massive amount of games and we were still in a title race. Mm. That's the thing. So your priorities, they shifted, I think, and I think we went all Premier League right then and there, and rightfully so, I'll go on record and say that. But the way that it turns out, it didn't help us.
Yeah.
And sometimes that happens in football. It's not a guaranteed. You don't do something and it's not guaranteed that you're going to get success off the back of it. So we've then left the title race and then we're ruining the fact that we've left the cup. Yeah. Well, I'm sorry, but if we'd progressed in the FA Cup and fell out of the title race, that would have been just as bad.
Yeah.
The problem was it actually ended up worse because we'd failed in both counts.
It does look like, because again, we took the League Cup seriously. Pretty serious. And I wonder what the priority will be next season, whether we will take that as seriously. It does kind of look like, we said this before, like they went, it's a calculated gamble, the EFL Cup because it's so you're so close to a final and you're so close to 90 minutes deciding whether you win a piece of silverware or not, that we did go a bit more in depth in that. Whereas, as you say, I think you said at the time with the FA Cup, there's more to it. Quite simply, there's more to it and there's more difficulties to it because, if nothing else, in the League Cup, you do tend to have decent sides. Now, you know, you have that top, one of those top, you always have a couple of top sides who are thinking, get a quick piece of silverware in and kickstart a manager.
Normally owned by Mourinho. Exactly. Or managed by Mourinho.
And then you get the teams who are a little bit lower down thinking, we'll take this properly seriously and hope that other teams fuck up along the way. You tend to get less of, as we said at the top, you don't get as many, I think, these days of you. I know we got Cardiff when we won it last and what have you, but I think you get less of that. So what I'm driving at is with the FA Cup, and what we had was, in some respects, if we'd have drawn, we didn't think at the time, but if we got Arsenal in the third round, or we draw Man City in the third round or whatever, it actually probably would have made it almost perversely easier for us because you've got a game, you can technically do whatever, whereas we always end up in the FA Cup in these scraps against teams who just want to murder your face every time they set foot out on the pitch. And it feels like we always exert a load more energy in FA Cup games than we do in the League Cup.
We got Tottenham relatively early in the League Cup and both sides weren't 100% strong sides. Yeah. So, you know, don't let you forget that happened as well. If we'd have got Tottenham in the third round of the FA Cup, we'd probably have played pretty similar sides again to what we played in the League Cup.
Maybe. I'd be interested to know if that was the case because it's one of the things we did on Social Club this week, and I know like Flav was talking about how he was surprised how strong Spurs had gone in the FA Cup as a result, and I wonder, that's one of those things, isn't it, with
it's a little more time gone in the season though, isn't it? I think that's what it boils down to, because you know sort of roughly where you can finish in the league and what you're going to be doing in Europe and stuff like that as well. So I'll be interested to see what they do in the Europa League off the back of that strong side.
Well, exactly. I also wonder whether they cocked up the first leg of that as well, whether it's a little gambit of thinking, I could be out of Europe in a week's time. At least we've still got an FA Cup, so I can cling to that. But yeah, it's I think the thing is, and I can't. One of the things that gets me with football when we do weekly football content and whatever is the need for hyperbole at every given opportunity. And what I mean by that is, because I'm doing a piece of football content using the word hyperbole, but it's also how I wrote it in the agenda and I realise it as I'm about to say it, like this whole no cups plus a break equals no more excuses. And to some extent, I totally believe in that, because as I was saying there, this season, the rest of this season exists. It's the cat in the box. It could go one way or another, and one way leads to us having a really good charge before the end of the season. Yeah, don't open the box. Well, the box is getting open one way or the other. But you know, it is this notion where we fall into this trap with football coverage in general, where we have to make grandiose statements on things like no more excuses. Like I don't even know what that I've written it, but I don't know what it means. You know. There'll be people, because you think that means Liverpool are basically going to win every game between now and the end of the season, and I'm not sure it's quite as dramatic as all that. For me, I just want to see some good performances. I just want to see some, 110% go out there and die for the shared performances between now and the end of the season, and the rest will, I reckon, be a byproduct.
I think for me, when I read it then, the no more excuses thing is like, look, you know, we've had a pre-season break, we're not in Europe, we're the ones who are now going into the final part of the season better rested than any other side. If we can't perform now, more questions will be asked. And I think that's kind of it. Maybe it shouldn't have been phrased no more excuses, but you can't. I agree with what you've said there, because, you know, you can't put your hat on and go, well, we've had more games, we've had more injuries than all of these teams. And that's what we've been able to say. Yeah. So sometimes we've got a nice clear vision of what this Liverpool's going to be. And if it's a success, it will build on that. Yeah. And if it's not, you might need to change something in the summer. And I'm not saying that's the manager or anything like that, but you might need to change your tactics slightly, because it does look over the last month and a half that we've kind of been found out.
Mm. Yeah, no, I think that's it, isn't it? It's like I said, for me, this is the thing with Liverpool's thing with being a fan, is that you can never know. You can't know, nobody knows. No one in football knows how it's going to go. But the good thing that we've got, and what we get, where I'm positive about it, is We showed signs for the vast majority of the season, discounting January to some extent, that we were the fittest team in the Premier League, or you know, as fit as anyone on our day. We had a style of play which really suited the players we had. We had and a group of players that work really well together, and I would bank on us, and as I said, coming simply down to performance, is that if we can once get back to being fitter than who we're playing against, and we can be more committed. And if we've managed to iron out any kinks in the harmony and the squad, we've given ourselves the best platform. Nothing else, and that's all you can really ask for from now. Now we're a week away from a week today. I think is our next game. That's the most we can ask for at this position. Once we get back into the games themselves, then I think we can start asking a few more questions.
Yeah, and look, Liverpool have got pretty much a game a week now for the next few weeks. There's another weekend off, isn't there, in about a month's time or something. We've got a lot to go out there and do. I think tactically we will change things up slightly. I think I noticed Bayern Munich aren't having the greatest season this season, although they're still 5 points clear of RB Leipzig or whatever. They're struggling with teams with the low block, and that's Bayern Munich, who've been dealing with teams playing a low block on them for a few years now. I said this on the LFC Statue last week, the one with me and John, is that it's evolution, not revolution, that we're looking for here.
You want to evolve, not re-evolve.
And that's what we need to see from now until the end of the season.
Yeah, no, absolutely. So, this is something, a general... it's quite a game.
Okay.
I don't know why I made that noise before saying it. I couldn't think of how to phrase it. We're going to get in the bin.
Okay.
You wanted a Room 101 style segment in this. Get in the bin seemed as reasonable title as anything. So, yeah, pick one thing from LFC culture to put in the bin.
Okay.
This week.
Can it stay in the bin forever?
Well, let's see what it is, and we'll ask the listeners whether they can...
Okay. It's probably bigger than just Liverpool Football Club.
You didn't read the Liverpool bit in the...
No, I did. It is a thing for Liverpool fans as well. It's entitlement. Football fan entitlement.
Yeah.
So, I've been watching a lot of Arsenal fan TV because they've not been in great form. I've been enjoying a lot of that. And I think one of the things that I heard, and it was on the Gina video, and it was DT talking, and he said, I've spent £70,000 following Arsenal over the last 10 years. And it's this sense that we deserve something for spending money on something that we love.
Yeah.
And I don't think that's right. You make a deal with the devil when you put your faith in
11
a corporation.
Yeah.
Right, and it's like, you know what it was? And it was a couple of years ago now when Sunderland got smacked 8-0, was at Southampton, and Vito Minone paid for the away fans' tickets. Right, football fans don't want to be treated as consumers. You don't get your money back unless you're a customer.
Yeah,
and this is what I mean by the entitlement. We want to stand up and be talked about and treated as fans and not customers. Yet when we're dissatisfied, the first thing we point to is the money that we spend, which is a customer transaction.
I would agree with you, the top line point. I think you're right. I think the difference with that, the only time I think that argument is pertinent, I think, is in how you're treated. So... as long as you're treated with respect by the club to which you're given the money to, you can't look. It's 11 fellas versus 11 fellas. If your club doesn't win every game of football, tough tits. You've paid exactly like that. It's a gamble. If it wasn't a gamble, you'd be able to win on the pearls every week, and you'd win nothing on the pearls because everyone would win on the pearls every week. I think you're dead right on that. I think, as I say, I think the only qualification to that is just you want to be treated. As long as you're getting treated humanely for the money you spend, because what I wouldn't want is, I'll give you an example, you pay 800, 900 quid or whatever for your season ticket. If your fucking seat was covered in shit and you fucking, you were getting herded and you were getting fucking beat up and you had to fucking piss in a fucking cup to fucking do whatever, and bear in mind, this is what football used to be like, I think entitlement in that regard is fair.
Football fans don't have that sense of entitlement. They talk about, we turn up and we saw 11 players not giving their all, right? That's really annoying. But the payoff that you get when you're a football fan that follows your team, either if it's just home games or it's home and away or anything else, is you get the highs and the lows.
Yeah.
And that's what being a football fan is. And it makes the highs more sweet.
Yeah.
For having experienced those lows and stuff. So it, it is just entitlement from football fans. It really annoys me, and it gets to me because no one has that. It's football.
And it's and worse.
Every single season, there's 20 teams going for the Premier League.
Yeah.
Arsenal fans are the fucking worst for it, by the way.
Yeah, absolutely.
Totally the worst.
We're terrible for it. Not you and I. Liverpool fans are. That's one of Liverpool fans' biggest weaknesses, is that as well, is that notion of Liverpool are a great football club with a phenomenal rich history, therefore we deserve to be at the top of the fucking league every single season. And it, you know, and I think that's a passion, it's a desire. It's not something that it's a can of worms to say it, but you know, you take what I mean. I'm not criticism in some respects, because nothing wrong with having ambition, but you're right, it's that particularly Arsenal fans, and particularly at the minute. I think entitlement gets worse the higher up the football pyramid you go, unfortunately, isn't it? Because you just got to look at, you know, we always have this conversation because we work with a lot of guys who support other non-top six Premier League teams. Mm-hmm. And I always wonder about the people who go to, imagine you're I always come back to the analogy of a mate of mine who was a Stockport fan in the early noughties. And I always wonder, like, what, like, why? I could never get my head around why.
Small details are big surfaces. Tight corners are odd shapes. Flat, rounded, textured, or tall. Whatever your next project, there's a spray paint pattern that's just right. Because Rust-Oleum's new Custom Spray 5-in-1 gives you control with 5 different spray patterns. So you can tackle nooks, crannies, edges, and curves without worrying about drips, runs, uneven coverage, or anything else. Custom Spray 5-in-1. Only from Rust-Oleum.
Tired of ads interfering with your favorite sports podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay ahead of the game by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/sportsadfree. That's amazon.com/sportsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Hey there, it's Michelle Norris. I'm host of a podcast called Your Mama's Kitchen. When I travel, I'm usually looking for a way to find a taste of home when I'm not at home. And one of the things I love to do when I am at home is entertain. And Airbnb allows me to do that. When I was in California recently, I rented a house that had a great kitchen. And when we were sitting around the table, we're all thinking, we're in someone else's house. Someone could be in all of our homes as well. If you have a home, but you're not always at home, you have an Airbnb. Your home might be worth more than you think. Find out how much at airbnb.com/host.
You would stick it out, but it's the same reason why we stick it out at any level, isn't it? You know, you've got your football team and you've got your football team for life. How involved you want to be in that is actually, that's what's down to you. Exactly, you're right in that. So you're right. I agree, because what it boils down to is you choose to go home and away. That's what it is. That's what it is. You know, I would contend that life and everything you do in life is all about the stories that you get off the back end of it. And you probably get more. You'll have people who go home and away will have far more stories and far more things to talk about, whether it's good or bad. They're not. That's what you're paying your money for. You're paying your money to be able to say, I was there when we won 5-0. I was there when we got snotted 6-1 and I fucking sang me out, you know what I mean? And I lost my shit and did whatever. That's all you're guaranteed in footy. And if you suppose a really boring team, you might not even be guaranteed that. But no, I agree. I think football entitlement absolutely should be the very first thing to get in the bin.
Nice.
Can it stay there forever, though? Listeners, stroke viewers, do let us know. If you're watching this on theredmentv.com, let us know in the little comments box below. Or you can tweet us at theredmentv, of course. I would love to do one, but having written the agenda, I then didn't think about something that wouldn't be really poorly conceived and thought through, like half and half scarves. I don't think half and half, but you know, I'm going to throw one that shouldn't get in the bin. Half and half scarves should not get in the bin.
Half of them?
No. I think half and half scarves of teams of bitter rivals should get in the bin. But half and half scarves as a concept, I'm not, I don't mind.
You know what? I don't even have that big a deal with them. You know, my. Again, it comes down to choice. I wouldn't choose to buy one. But when we went around Madrid and Liverpool played Madrid, I really did think about it. That was my first big European away fixture. And we're playing pretty much the biggest side in world football. Yeah. And I was like, you know what? Now I understand. And before then, I probably didn't understand what they were about.
Yeah.
And I think if you are coming over, I hate to use the phrase, but if you're a day tripper,
yeah,
right, and you're coming over to Anfield and you just want a fucking memento of something, why not?
Yeah.
Why not? Because I go on holiday and I pick up fridge magnets and they're a bit wool, aren't they, to be honest with you?
Well, I was going to say, what's a...
It's just the same as getting anything as a memento when you're abroad.
I was looking through, I had a stack of programmes kind of handed down to me from my dad, and I've got one from Old Trafford, and I think it might even be the game. After Hillsborough, it's around the Hillsborough Memorial anyway. And so I've got a Man United programme and I've got like an Everton programme, and I thought, I've got a programme from another club, and I know it's Liverpool, but it's essentially fundamentally what programmes are. Programmes are mementos of occasions that you've gone to. The difference, and the thing I think that's the only thing about having our scars that definitely needs to get in the bin, is holding them up and having a photo taken with your half.
Yeah, that's annoying. Like,
particularly when it's Liverpool, Man United, or Chelsea, Arsenal, 100%,
100%. Like, but if you just want to buy it, put it in a bag, and take it home with you as a memento, absolutely fine with that. Like,
yeah, completely agree with that. Brilliant. Yeah. So let us know your thoughts and things that you would like to see get in the bin, and maybe we'll discuss them in the future if we bother. I'll ask to do this podcast again. Okay, some questions from people. We asked for people to send some questions in. We do this on a whole host of other shows, but it's always more entertaining when you and I do it, Chris, with the greatest of disrespect to everyone else who appears on Redmen TV.
100%.
So, Cantankerous Red on Twitter asks, why is there a light in the fridge but not the freezer?
That's a really good question, isn't it? I've no idea, to be perfectly honest with you. No, doesn't make any sense. I know, maybe it just fucking freezes the glass.
Well, exactly. I'm wondering whether it's a technical process, because freezers tend to be compartmentalised.
Hang on a minute. I've had walk-in freezers that have lights in them
in
restaurants and stuff.
Oh, no.
So,
but your domestic, your stand-up fridge, and I'm sure chest freezers might have a big light in them, whatever. So, yeah, maybe like, but you look at those, like, they're industrial lights with massive.
No, most of them, it's the plastic thing over the top of them, probably, isn't it? To be fair, I'm not sure you'd even need a light in your fridge, if I'm perfectly honest with you.
As long as you've got a light in your room.
Yeah, you're probably fine, aren't you? And if you can afford a fridge, you can probably afford a light switch in your kitchen.
Yeah. Saying that though,
and we've all got phones.
Have you ever had the light bulb go in your fridge?
Yeah.
It's so annoying.
Yeah.
It's really annoying. Yeah. For your OCD, it's a myth.
Yeah. No.
So if I went into your house and removed the light bulb from your fridge...
That's different, isn't it?
No, it's not.
I mean, if the light bulb's gone, I would 100% have to change that. But if there never was a light in there, I'm not asked.
Okay, yeah. I think from a technical perspective, I don't think it's about the freeze or not. I think it's about it depends. Freezers are in drawers, aren't they?
Most of the time, yeah.
So you would have to...
Light each individual drawer.
Light each individual drawer. And where would you put the light in there? Because if the drawers themselves come out, and there probably are freezers that have got lights in them, very, really expensive ones.
I think we've done enough on this. Yeah. Smeg are overrated anyway.
Yeah, whatever.
Terribly overrated fridges. See. They're just massive, because, you know, the sides of them, which you absolutely love, they're about that thick. So you buy this big fuck-off Smeg fridge, and you think, wow, this is going to be massive inside. Yeah, actually, it's got a foot. Half a foot on either side of just fucking just
insulation,
the outside of the fucking fridge. So your inside's tiny, and you can't put it up against the wall either, because when you open the door, it comes out further, another half a foot. So it's just terrible. Like,
there's the wall on the side,
yeah. So your door can't open that
you
way. Like,
you'd have to put it in like the middle of your room.
And I'll tell you something else on fridges that really annoy me is that everyone's like banging into these things with like the water in the front and the ice and stuff like that. Where do these people put the milk?
What do you mean?
Well, these water fucking dispensers go in the door, don't they?
Yeah.
So where the fuck? There's no room for your milk in the door. Where do they put the milk?
That door tends not to open. Does it? Or is
no,
that
it opens. It opens the front of your fridge.
So on my dad's one, has got that. That's the front of the freezer.
That's fine. That's an acceptable place for it. But when it's on the front of your fridge, do these people put the milk sideways? Because milk bottles aren't great for putting on the side. Like, you know what I mean? There's milk spilling everywhere. And once you get spilt milk, I know you're not supposed to cry over it and stuff, but it smells. It's really disgusting. Mm-hmm. So, yeah, these people. Anyway, let me know. Tweet me.
Yeah.
Tell me where your milk goes in your fridge. You fucking weirdos.
Yeah. And now we've done enough on that one. Ben Coates, Benny C90. If Barca are coming for Phil Coutinho, I'm going to presume, not Mitchell, out of interest, would you be happy to let him go for right price?
Yeah, but the right price is going to be really, really high.
I'll be honest on this one. Not this summer. Next summer, yes. This summer, absolutely no. I think the worst thing that could possibly
happen. Did it say this year?
That's what I'm saying, but I'm qualifying it with, okay. I'm qualifying okay. it by that, is that if our Barca came in for, we should do everything in our power to not sell anyone this summer and go again, because this is what we constantly do. And this is a lot of me thinking on this predicated on us having a Champions League place or a European place. We need to be, Klopp's already said, hasn't he? Look, we've got a good squad here. We just really want to add a few top quality players to it, which was exactly my thinking on it as well.
£89 million, Paul, that's our budget. Just saying.
Says who? Ooh. Where'd you get that?
I'll tell you afterwards.
Sources.
I've got sources.
You've got sources. Yeah. Fucking
89 million
fucking
pounds,
mayonnaise. Wow. Yeah. Before or after player sales?
Before.
Ooh.
As it stands right now, we've got a budget of £89 million.
Shock. Breaking news. Red Men TV sources suggest
£89 million.
Wow.
For the opening fantastic. Episode.
For the comparatively small amount of people who are going.
Six people.
Excellent. There is a right price for Phil that I eventually would not be asked. Because I'm just old and jaded about these things now. Like Torres was the last one that really galled me. Mm. And look, players move on. They're transient human beings, aren't they? You know, and the industry they live in. And I look, you know what, actually, I was looking at trophies and it was that Eden Hazard's only won like one FA Cup and one league title. That's all he's won at Chelsea. And yeah, he's arguably the best player in the league, or was, you know, a season
can
before
be.
Last, can be. And I think about it and you think about like, what's Phil Coutinho won, Nottingham. You know what? And you think about these players, and you think, oh, God, they kind of don't begrudge it as much anymore. I just want us to be good, but I don't want us. I want us to get out of the mentality of let's. I don't care the players don't win things if we can keep them and they make us better. Fuck them! I'd rather they win. No,
yeah. I think so. I agree with you on the don't ever sell them this season for whatever. They might give you the right price, but not for this season.
Yeah.
The next season after, maybe. What we've got to do a better job of is having the replacement in the club beforehand.
Absolutely.
And I don't mean like a couple of hours beforehand, yeah. like a la Luis Suarez. Yeah. I mean, have them fucking groomed to take over the place.
Yeah.
I can't say the word groomed without you having that little smile. What was this? You did it again. For anyone watching, every time you say the word groomed, Paul has this weird little look on his face.
Because I always wonder where it's going to go. There's a tangent that a lot of Red Men content off. Generally off air. Actually, I was going to say off air, but you never know sometimes, do you?
Groom.
Hot mics on Red Men TV. Yeah, no, I agree. There is a right price for Phil Coutinho, but it has to be coupled at the right time. And hopefully, we're in a position now where no, ultimately this year would not be it. Lewis Calvert, our very own Lewis Calvert, who comes in and does extra time and some other bits and pieces, sent a whole host of questions in. I've vetted most of them. I've vetted them down to one absolute belter, and it is: in a zombie apocalypse, what would be your tactics?
I'd probably just kill everyone.
Everyone?
Yeah.
Family included?
Well,
good opportunity.
No, maybe I'd... Maybe
oh, the turn!
Maybe I'd... No, I don't know, because it's difficult. I think, you know, I've always sort of said, well, I'd go to a supermarket or something like that because you've got endless supplies of food. Now, the problem with doing something like that is lots of people would probably be doing that, like, so that it becomes a little bit more difficult. So maybe something like, not a supermarket, but I'd be heading to the Asda place by Warrington where the distribution factory is for the entire Northwest.
Yeah.
Warrington, really, people are only going for IKEA. They don't really notice the other
when the zombie apocalypse comes, no one thinks I'm going to Warrington.
Exactly. But apart from me, so I'm heading straight to the distribution factory. I've got all kinds of fucking lorries, tons of fucking lorries. You know, I can marshal myself in with lorries and I can drive them all around. But pretty much, I'm going to take those close to me with me and kill everyone else. Okay. Like, full on, it's not going to get to series four before the side this is happening. It's series one. Straight out the bat, oh shit, you're not my family, you're not a zombie. Bang, sorry, Paul. And it's been a nice friendship. We've done a lot of cool things together.
What?
It's time. You're going to eat my food, and I'm not going to have that. What? She doesn't share food.
What if the zombies are more... Because you've got them as, like, Walking Dead-style zombies. Mm. What if they're, like, 28 Days Later-style running ones?
Fuck, I'd just give up, mate. I couldn't be dealing with that, James. I just don't want to live in that world. You'd see me in the nearest pond.
Yeah, no, my not too dissimilar. I've always thought that it's changed by where I've lived in the city, but there's the Territorial Army base
on
Menlove Avenue.
Oh, by Menlove, yeah.
Which is opposite the Tesco's and a petrol station.
It's not Menlove, but go on.
You what?
It's not Menlove, but go on.
Mather. And, it's well fortified.
Yeah,
it's got good solid army vehicles within there as well. Plenty of living space. Probably, you know, it's all walled in and gated as well for a start. And then you're close to a reasonable food source.
It's a great point. And actually, one thing I should probably have considered, but now I've had a little bit of time to think about it, I would probably be looking for an old style medieval castle as well, because you know if you can get your food supplies and you've got your 18 wheeler, get yourself to a medieval castle, because there's loads of these things are for. Fortified places, aren't
absolutely,
they?
Absolutely, literally.
That was the whole point of them, but there's so many hidden layers. They're
not made by Red Rogue, those things.
Well, exactly, there's so many hidden layers. So obviously you've got the moat, and everyone knows that the moat is so that, you know, people can't get in. But what it is, actually the moat's for, and most people don't know this, is so that when you tunnel under, back in the day, like, if you would try and tunnel under a wall, but what would happen is you tunnel under the moat, and the moat would then drain into your tunnel and fucking kill you that way. But then, like, all the stairs are, hang on a minute, how do you do this? All the stairs are clockwise in medieval forts, and the reason that they do this is so that the people who are walking up the stairs are generally right-handed people, aren't they? You can't swing your sword, that's why they're really tight, whereas when you're coming from the position high up, you've got your full arm to swing straight down at them, and when the bullets have run out, Paul, you're going to need these little tactical advantages, like you're going to need swords and machetes and all that type of stuff, so you need to find yourself a nice little clockwise staircase to fortify. Yes, nailed it.
Winner. Yeah, I don't think I can improve on that, if I'm perfectly honest. Thanks very much, Lewis. Money Paddy 25, another one of Bob Barcelona. There's a lot of Barcelona envy or fear going on in the questions this week.
When you should be reading old staircases and medieval castles, people.
If Barca came after Klopp, do you think he'd go? If he did, who do you reckon FSG would look at? Barca could come after. Could conceivably come after Klopp. I don't see why not. I think we're still in this Schrodinger's cat stage.
Doing that as a football club,
finding things that they like at other football clubs. And
no, manager wise, is that something that they've done over the last 15 years?
No, it's an interesting point, isn't it? I don't know where Rijkaard was prior to Barcelona.
He might have been B. Let me find out.
Yeah, do have a look at that.
That is interesting, actually.
Yeah. Because here's the thing about Barcelona. The line of succession is, they've always got that line of succession because they're just such a successful force for so long that when you look at the Rijkaard to Guardiola to Luis Enrique thing, then you say there's a bunch of players who play for Barcelona when they were, or had a Barcelona connection or a Dutch connection, etc., etc.
Sparta Rotterdam.
Okay.
Didn't know that one. He was there for a year and he went to Barcelona.
It's interesting. I don't know enough about the history of Barcelona's other managers. I guess
you've obviously had
the guy who had
Cruyff to begin with, I suppose.
Yeah.
Started it. Then Bobby Robson took over from Cruyff, didn't he? Who took over from Bobby Robson? Well,
Bobby Robson was successful with Ipswich. I think he won a UEFA Cup with them and stuff. So there's an example
one
of
winners. One of them, I can't remember which. Bye bye, Stevie.
Yeah, sorry again for listening. Stephen Gerrard just took a head nosedive off the table. Again, if you're listening, there's a small model of Stephen Gerrard on the table, and he's back. Hypothetically, if they were some, I don't see any reason why, whether it's Barcelona or whomever. And this is why I think Klopp exists in Schrodinger's cat phase at the moment, and that's just all in the fears in our heads at the moment, because if we have a good end to the season, we have a good next season, his stock will remain as high, could get even higher, and once your stock continues to get higher, what happens historically with Liverpool is that it's only Barcelona and Real Madrid when they come knocking that they're the teams that think, all right, great, we'll let them go, because who would stand in the way of the glorious, etc., etc.
It'd be quite a different step for Barcelona, wouldn't it? Because they've had that succession for like 14 years now.
Yeah.
You know, they've gone through Rijkaard to Guardiola to Enrique and stuff. They've all been very much Barcelona raised, haven't they? Yeah. I suppose, and you know, the style of football is quite a lot different to Jurgen Klopp's. Now, I'm not saying it's, when you look at the sides, there is a massive difference tactically between what they do and stuff. And you know, one of the things that Jurgen Klopp came to Liverpool, and when he came to Liverpool, and he said was he wants the longer term project, and I don't know whether that's a long term project. Now, it could be putting his name in the fucking lights forever, mm-hmm, in Barcelona's history. That would be an amazing project, but it's not what I think of as a project.
Yeah, yeah. No, that's it. It's one of those things, is that I think that just to follow up, I guess, yeah, all those things. If Klopp continues to be a really successful Liverpool manager, there's always going to be that thing that hovers around. The thing on the last part of the question from Patrick, if he did, who do you reckon FSG would look at? Again, I think that depends on how successful Klopp is. Let's use a hypothetical situation where Barcelona came in this summer. I don't think Klopp would go. I think Klopp would turn them down first and foremost. But in this random world where we're dealing hypotheticals, Klopp gone this summer, I have got no idea who he targets. Because I don't think we would be able to target Simeone, who's the only other guy out there who I'm like be gagging for as the gaffer. But it's one of them that if you've got Klopp for a few years, and we're successful, and we're competing back in the Champions League, and we're competing for titles, etc., then we just look around and say, who is the next Klopp? Who is the next top manager? And we go out and get them. Whereas we're still in that being moulded phase there, where our next manager could quite easily be another Brendan Rodgers, as it could be
I'll be honest, the manager in world football that I love most probably was Simeone up until this season. I think they've had their struggles this season. I think it's well publicised and stuff. The one that I respect more than any other, and I think would be a really good fit because of the job he's doing now, is Pochettino. I just think he's a fucking fantastic manager, and he's working with the same type of constraints that Liverpool are working with, albeit I think maybe he's a year further on in Tottenham's development under him. And I just like him. I think his teams are just very well drilled. They're good size, they're good defensively, which is good to see, and yet they score goals.
The big question on Pochettino is going to come with pressure, mm-hmm, and whether because the level of pressure that he's had at his previous jobs doesn't compare to the pressure that he has at Liverpool, and that's the big thing for him. Is that if we were going to get someone else, I wouldn't want another guy who
needs to win his first trophy.
Exactly, looking to win his first European trophy. Looking to do. I want us to replicate what we did when we got Benitez and what we did when we got Klopp. Go and get a born winner who's done it and handled pressure at Dortmund, the smaller club. Yeah, probably just about and then is ready to make a step or make us even better, something like that. Okay, so what we'll do, because obviously the audio for this will be going out on an audio streaming service,
SoundCloud,
some description. But the video is obviously exclusive to Redman TV subscribers. We've got a couple of extra questions here, which we'll answer at the end, which will be exclusive for people on the video, because I want to plough through this, because we're fast approaching what we're setting as a roughly 60-minute deadline on this. So I will ask Harry George, with the obvious answers to the question, which ex-striker do you want back, being Suarez, which ex-Liverpool striker in his prime would you want to partner him?
To partner Suarez.
You've brought Suarez.
Wow.
Back.
I'll tell you what, you answer this one first while I have a little think about it.
Okay, so let me work this out. I'm going to do this in Who Wants to Be a Millionaire style, where I'm going to talk my way through.
50-50.
I am going to talk my way through what I think, how you come to the answer on this. So Luis Suarez is the guy who's doing all your run around, he's doing all your pressing. Do you go for someone to feed Suarez, or do you go for someone for Suarez to feed? And I think I would go along the same lines as think about what we had with Sturridge there for me. And I think, you know, we obviously brought Carroll and Suarez in. I think the idea was meant to be the big man, little man to some extent. Whereas I actually think what we saw was the biggest success. And what I would like to see in terms of what is the dream strike partnership that we should have had but never got to see is I would partner Luis Suarez with peak era Fernando Torres. Suarez doing all the fucking running around, all the hassling, booting people for Torres left, right and centre, scoring the goals and then laying in Fernando Torres. That would be my dream answer to that
question. I mean, it's an epic front pairing, to be perfectly honest with you. Am going to go slightly different to that then. I'm going to go back to Liverpool's probably greatest ever player and go with Kenny Dalglish to feed in Luis Suarez.
Ooh. Slow?
Don't matter. He's adaptable. He could technically, the game might have changed, but the game's still the same in his fucking head. And he didn't need to be fast. Let's face it. Luis Suarez isn't the quickest of players.
Well, that's
either,
what I'm saying.
You know, there'd be so many steps ahead before the ball's even kicked. That, you know, it's just goals.
It's like computer chess almost. It's like they go, the ball's on the kickoff and they go,
checkmate.
We've scored. We're gonna do this. We've scored. Okay, Sam. Should we just agree on a 5? They're like, yeah, good. Shake hands and then go off. Yeah, no, I love that. Absolutely love that. So we've got a couple of extra questions lined up for people at the end. I'll do one more now. Which one do we want to go with? Okay. Do Liverpool need a new centre-back or is Dejan Lovren good enough? I think we need a new one, says Callum C-pinned Mane Mayhem on Twitter.
I flip-flop on this one all the time, to be perfectly honest with you. There's times when I've watched Dejan Lovren this season and been like, yep, he's absolutely sound, no problems whatsoever there. It looks like he's forming a good partnership with Joel Matip. But, you know, I think right now I'm back on there. We need another good centre-back. We need someone who's better than Matip, quite frankly, because, you know, the last few games have shown that coming back from injury, he's not infallible, is he? And there are times when Dejan Lovren's just crap, inexplainably crap, and you can't have that from a centre-back, especially not your destroyer centre-back, which I think he's supposed to be. They're the ones that you're supposed to be able to rely on, and when they go above and beyond the station, you're like, wow, that's amazing.
Yeah.
Dejan Lovren needs to be Stefan Honcho, he needs to be Jamie Carragher. Although they did have mistakes in them, Jamie was obviously scoring loads of fucking own goals and stuff like that, not in quite the same way as a Lovren would do. And I think, you know, we need a world-class centre-back.
The Lovren thing for me is, as one of your four centre-halves, I think he's sound. But it is the thing, when I think that we paid 20-odd million pounds for him, and I just wonder what Klopp and his team could get for 20 million pounds in terms of centre-half. And I know you can't really use Matip as a comparison for this because it was just shrewd business, you know what I mean? It was insider knowledge that got us a stolen march on the Matip thing on a free. I do look at it and I think we could buy a better centre-half and have change left over for something else as well, you know, for the money. I mean, you're probably looking at, like, let's say 25 million for the sake of argument. I don't think we need necessarily to do that. But if we're in that market for it, just go and buy Virgil van Dijk for 40, because fuck it, it's not my money, is it? But no, I like Lovren, but you're right, I don't know whether his mistakes are part of a lack of general understanding amongst the team in the back four, five, including the goalkeeper, or he's got mistakes in him. Steve used a great line on one of the shows a few weeks ago about Mignolet. He said it's an NFL line when he says he's just good enough to get you beat. And it's so hard to unpick whether he's good or bad, that I kind of would like those questions. Like Sacco, Sacco's exactly the same as that for me. I love
this. Why are we asking questions like this? You can either tell or you can't.
Exactly. But then again, it's worth remembering that we've had, even the best centre-halves we've had question marks over all of them at any given point. You know, Sammy Hippier, we thought Hippier was done 2 or 3 years before he actually left, and it turns out we got rid of him a season too early anyway.
He's got the same question marks in the Carragher's career. Remember, you know, he wasn't getting a game, and then all of a sudden he came in, and we were like, "Wow, he can still do a frigging job here."
Exactly, yeah.
Absolutely superb.
And we do, you know, Stefan on show. We look back at it now, but he was considered to be a liability. But we're able to look back at the you know, his handball galore in the FA Cup final and all that kind of stuff, and we remember what a good partnership he formed. I think what we need is Dejan Lovren's. If he can form a good partnership with Matip, if those two get a good run of games between now and the end of the season, that could completely change my thinking on this. But Matip for me is our best centre half. He's our number one guy. We want to find someone who complements
Batman 89.
Yeah,
my number one guy.
but yeah, I want to know if that. I don't know what the manager thinks, and I don't know what he considers to be the perfect foil. The amount of games Lucas has played there suggests that maybe it's someone who's a bit...
kind of thinking this when we were talking about a minute ago. Someone like a Mascherano-style centre-half would be perfect for me. Mm. And, you know, that doesn't mean to say that he has to be a defensive midfielder, blah, 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 blah. But someone who likes to do that side of the game, and, yeah, you know, you've got your big centre-back in Domas. Yeah, that's totally fine, like, with that. And it's the thing that gets me, and it's born out of the last month, and I've said it so many times over the last month, we're not good in space, and we need a centre-back that's good in space, and I don't think we've had one of them since pre-Aga and Skirtle. And, you know, Sammy Appiah was good in space, but we never really played the way that we play now, yeah, so you couldn't judge him on that. Mm-hmm. I think football has changed. Centre-back positions become harder and harder. The faster the players get further up the pitch as well, the more that teams start to utilise counter-attacks and stuff like that. I don't think that defenders have quite matured into that role enough yet, whereas the strikers, you know, everything changes so quickly with attacking football, and it takes a while for defences to cotton on to what attacks are doing. But physically and technically, I just don't think they're there yet. I don't think we're producing enough world-class centre-backs across the world,
yeah,
that it's caught up. Vincent Kompany was perfect, but he was almost a one-of-a-kind.
Yeah.
You know, and there's not that succession of players that are coming through that are like that yet, and there should be.
It's funny because the Mascherano thing, I was thinking about it, and it's like, so a guy who has played in midfield, so we know he's good on the ball, but he's not exceptional going forward or what have you. And he's really tenacious, and he's got good pace.
Kante.
But yeah, and it's like, hang on, that he's still world class, no matter what, you know, the attributes that he brings. But you're right, it's a guy who, because I think the midfield side of it's almost irrelevant or something. It's not irrelevant. It's less important so much as I think it's a guy. What you're talking about is a guy who, kind of like, you look at Ancho, Carragher, Terry, but with a yard of pace, who just tear around. They're the guys when we do get the lines broken, that they can go and they can catch up. They can catch someone up and put and love a tackle, but they know when to put a tackle. It's probably your centre half who gets the most, who picks up a couple of red cards a season, or, you know, that. Yeah, no, you're right. Someone like that would be lovely for
Marvellous,
me.
Marvelous, Paul.
Absolutely. Okay, so yeah, people watching on the video side of things on the redmantv.com, stay tuned in a moment or two. We'll be doing a couple more questions. But for listeners, thanks very much for listening. It's been an absolute pleasure for me.
And for me.
Excellent. Good. Whew. Vindication. Yeah, if you like the podcast and you want us to do more of this kind of stuff, do let us know and do share it as well on Twitter, Facebook, etc., etc. And hopefully we'll be back with more Red Men in your ears.
Tired of ads barging into your favorite news podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay up to date on everything newsworthy by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/newsadfree. That's amazon.com/newsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Hey everyone, Craig Robinson here. I want you to check out the Ways to Win podcast, brought to you by Ford and the new 2024 Ford F-150 truck. On Ways to Win, Coach Cal and I will discuss leadership lessons we've learned. We know all about the days spent perfecting your craft outside of the limelight and have knowledge to share about how strength, inspiration, encouragement, and adaptability are the key ingredients to drive toward your dreams. And those same ingredients can be found in the new 2024 Ford F-150 truck. So check out my podcast, Ways to Win, and also check out the new 2024 Ford F-150 truck. Learn more at Ford.com. Built Ford tough, built Ford proud.
In the future. Thanks for listening. Walk on.